Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of It Was Mooney. I'm your host, Kosi, and if you're listening to this, I'm already dead. Unfortunately, I lost the audio of the first hour of this episode, so my co-host and producer, Wani B, being the level-headed professional he is, promptly had me killed. The episode you're about to hear is the salvaged audio recording, which includes the latter half of our review for Monkey Man, along with a live, in-studio reaction to the Joker 2 trailer. I want to give a special thanks to our guest and friend of the show, Aaron, for joining us. Thank you, and enjoy the episode. As always, today's episode was recorded before a live Studio Ostrich.
This looks so pretentious.
Definitely. But I think that's what Todd Phillips is going for, though.
Having the subtitle in French?
Yeah, I'm into this.
Oh, I like that.
I'm now curious to see, like, what's real and what isn't in this. That's what I'm very curious about.
Yeah.
Oh, nice, that guy. Steve Coogan.
Steve Coogan. Oh, is she a fan?
Then it's kind of like the comics then, because yeah, that's how she was.
I'm not sure if she's a fan or she just becomes a fan of him.
Oh no, he like convinces her, like seduces her.
She might be one of those like a groupie, basically. Yeah. You know how serial killers have.
Yeah. But like a really, really like committed.
But it
groupie.
Seems like more like they fall in love than she's just some groupie. I don't know. It's hard to tell from the trailer.
That look cool. That look cool.
I'm really hoping here.
It's a great teaser.
I'm really hoping that they don't go the direction of keeping it keeping it a loving relationship, because maybe she doesn't have to be a doctor or anything, but the key to keeping a good Joker and Harley relationship is that it has to be abusive.
Yep, that's the
hallmark.
It's got
to be an abusive relationship.
That's the hallmark of their relationship. Because
they're
yeah.
not supposed to be in love, quote unquote.
And they're not like couple goals. No, they're not goals. You shouldn't strive to be like them. It's a cautionary tale of what
and
crazy
he should
people.
Be the one in power.
I think what they're going to do is this. They're going to probably split that up, have it be like, because, you know, I think people are going to want Harley Quinn to have some agency and be like
think,
not having to just
I mean,
be
just,
like.
Frankly, from his personality in the first movie, he's a little too pathetic to be properly in charge.
I think they could make it work in the sense that he's like one of those quote unquote nice guys.
Okay.
Where he does just like keep just harassing her essentially to like it's still abusive, but just from like a weakling kind of perspective.
Okay, I think I can see them doing it that way. They like kind of like have him exploit her, but using his like nice guy tendencies or skills, whatever, to like get her to do his bidding, because he's not gonna like muscle her or strong arm her. He's gonna he has to like, kind of manipulate her.
He's not gonna slap her around. Like,
exactly,
the
this
cartoons.
Version won't. Yeah. The animated series Joker would, but this one wouldn't. He's a little bit different than the animated series Joker, which I actually appreciate because it's a different interpretation.
The Joker from the first movie had that underlying sense of violence though, so I hope they kind of keep that too.
It looks like they're growing upon that, because it's like he's now getting recognition for all that crazy stuff he did. Now yeah. he has a groupie now, and now he's like real recognition. So I think it's gonna really delve into okay, he's kind of getting drunk on this, and it's not gonna end well. And yeah, I'm excited for this October 4th, 2024. Couldn't come any sooner. And yeah, I'm glad we're able to react to this in real time.
Well,
this
what do great. You think?
Looks interesting, man. That's definitely. What'd you say it comes out?
October 4th. So
yeah, no, looking forward to
6 months from now. But yeah, that was a teaser. And it didn't really give us much to go by. It's a lot of cool shots. Definitely the shot like with the spotlight. That was really cool.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, a lot of cool, interesting shot selection. I think the main apprehension, a lot of people were scared of the fact that it was gonna be a full blown musical. I don't think Todd Phillips will ever do that. I don't think Todd Phillips ever made a movie where his characters sang the whole thing. But he had
never made a movie like Joker 1 either.
True, true. But Todd does love needle drops. He loves his needle drops in his stuff. So I could definitely, and they said the song will have a lot of like modern songs that'll be sung and performed. So it's interesting.
The first movie's trailer had Smile by Nat King Cole. Yeah. And I love the way they utilized that. Great usage. And I really like the song choice that they had in this one too.
Yeah, what the, yeah, What the World Needs Love. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like theirs is like a crazy weird kind of love that might destroy all of Gotham. Again, I am it also looks bigger. Looks bigger and just more, I don't know, like Todd Phillips, I like Joker made like $1 billion, believe it or not, it's like a high earning film, and you know, hopefully, I don't know if Todd can do it again, but I have faith in him. He hasn't made a movie I haven't liked, so.
I also have faith in Lady Gaga's ability to pick a script.
Yeah. Yeah, she
doesn't need to act, but I feel like if she found something.
Yeah, what was it about? And also, what made Joaquin Phoenix come back? Because he never does sequels, like, ever.
He said he wouldn't, but yeah, I mean, it's not that hard to question for him. Money.
Well, yeah.
They paid him enough.
You'd think, I thought by now Joaquin's made, he can never make enough money.
But this is still a showcase for him. This is not just him taking money. Right, it's still an acting showcase. Yeah. Didn't he win an Oscar? Or at least
he won an Oscar. Yeah, he won an Oscar for this. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, it's a superhero movie, but it has aspirations to more, especially for somebody like Joaquin Phoenix.
No, you're right. No, this looks great, man. So Joker 2, Folia do something something French coming in theaters October 4th, guys. Check that out. It's nice.
His revenge for killing him. They actually don't reveal how his mom died and what happened until almost halfway.
Yeah, they kind of lead up to it. A bit of a lead up.
I actually really like that about the movie. I thought they did a great job of slowly revealing that information. Like, towards the beginning when he's getting the job at the club or whatever it is, the way they revealed that what he's really after is this lady's husband. They just have a brief flash to him smoking a cigarette in the back or something like that. I was like, this is a very clever way to reveal this information to the audience.
I agree from the movie's perspective, but again, the trailer already had you going in there knowing
that's true.
The bad guy, that guy had already killed his mom and fucked. Like, you already kind of, it just seemed like the kind of like place setting for the movie, right?
Exactly.
Versus in this, it's like it's almost played like as a reveal. It's again, it's just that the flow of the movie from the trailer feels like it's gonna be a John Wick movie where you have the instigating factor at the beginning and then you just have this constant escalation of action from then to the end of the movie, right? Until the climax. This movie was not like that at all. It had more of that superhero origin story kind of plotting, pacing, where, okay, it starts off, you're just kind of figuring out who he is. He's clever and has some skills, but you see him get his ass kicked. You see him living kind of a shitty life. You're not really sure what the plan is versus just trying to get revenge. And then, you know, you have this fall where he confronts the guy he's supposed to be killing. And he has a gun pointed at his face, and he blinks.
Yeah, basically.
It is great. I really liked how bad he is at the revenge stuff.
Yeah, it's refreshing. Yeah. He's not a superhuman. He's not John Wick. Yeah,
it's actually very clever how he manages to get up there. He actually does this whole thing where he gets a dog loyal, so the dog will bring the gun.
Yes,
the gun to him. Yes, get around the security. It's very clever.
It is clever.
But again, it's clever. It's not like in John Wick where you feel like you're witnessing a superhuman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where you feel like you're just witnessing somebody beyond the normal. This one, you just feel like, oh, there's a guy who has clever ideas and has clever connections. And then, you know, you have the kind of mid-movie training montage type scene where he goes into this temple with some trans folks.
They're like eunuchs. They're kind of...
Okay.
I want to call it a subculture in India. I don't know too much about them because they're very mysterious, but they are like...
I wonder what that is.
They do represent themselves as neither man nor woman.
Yeah, it's like those mystical kind of religious...
Yeah. They're almost Almost kind of like how we in America see Native Americans, where they kind of have like mystical powers. Like if you have if you build a house on a Native American graveyard.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from.
Okay.
So yeah, and like halfway through this movie, basically kind of has a training montage scene, and the drummer comes in and kind of hypes him up and helps him train up.
That is where my criticism of the movie comes in. I thought that the training montage, as well done as it was, I feel like he didn't really learn anything to get his newfound powers. Like, nothing changed about the character. He did some drugs and then just tried harder.
I think the only thing he kind of because he had some skills before. It's not like he'd never trained or anything before. But it was almost like a confidence change, like an attitude change. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, I mean, the only reason he didn't get his revenge was basically because he panicked. Right? Yeah. He was there. His plan all worked. He had a gun pointed at this guy's face. He had won.
But it's some real stuff. It felt real. Like
he would have these panic attacks. He would see on screen. He had these flashbacks, this PTSD. And then it felt like something about... do a great job of it. I will say that's one of the criticisms of the movie, where it just felt like they almost skipped over the essence of the training montage, where like he just like trained a little bit and suddenly became twice as strong.
He was just hitting a punching bag.
Yeah, he just hit a punching bag.
Just bag it's of not rice.
Like
he had
like
just...
a match. I mean, the drummer guy was just like drumming to him. He's just like giving him a beat to go to. It's not like he was teaching him some secret techniques. He did have the drum. I mean, he did have to confront his fears, his anxiety, his loss. He did have a mental change. But, you know, it seems like more than that happened. It almost seems like he's like borderline, again, like a superhero movie where like he gains his powers now and he learns to control his powers. It felt like that, but it's just like it didn't quite feel as earned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't feel earned, I'm down with that. I think is the right way to put that. Yeah. Speaking of the fight scenes, I really like the fight scenes.
Yes.
Yeah. That first fight scene in the bathroom, I thought was it was great seeing how overwhelmed he was by this villain. Yeah. And, you know, I was expecting him to be somewhat competent, but just like immediately just losing the gun, I was like, oh, come on. And then just watching him struggle. It was very reminiscent of the fight from Mission Impossible 6.
Mission Impossible 6.
Which I think was... I don't mean to say that it was intentional, but it did seem like it was it was referenced heavily. But from the fact that it was a 2-1, it happened in a bathroom, there was a gun on the floor moving back and forth, they kept kicking around the gun. Like, the placement of the gun was the crux of that fight scene.
And that was a great way to place it, yeah.
And also, somebody got flipped over a mirror.
Just like in Mission Impossible.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was. I mean, obviously, you not only had the blatant John Wick references. I mean, you literally had them saying, oh, look, it's the gun from John Wick.
Yeah.
Right? It is the first directorial and writing debut for Dev Patel.
Yeah.
So it's not entirely wild that he's not fully formed.
Yeah, I can let some stuff go.
Other than the black suit, I really didn't see much John Wick comparisons in the action.
You know.
There's a fight that happens in a kitchen towards the end that I thought was very reminiscent of
the Raid 2,
mm-hmm. the kitchen fight there. Like some of the same moves were used.
Yeah.
Even there's a stunt that happens with a bottle of hot sauce and taken exactly from the Raid 2.
It felt like that kitchen scene also felt like something that could have been in. And just the fact that he was suddenly showed up dressed in a suit, like exact same John Wick suit. It felt a little on the nose.
But with the Monkey Man mask on.
He immediately took the mask off.
Yeah.
He took it off immediately.
I thought he'll keep it. But it's all right.
I will say one thing, too, I liked about the movie. And it's kind of bleak, frankly. John Wick movies, and other shows do this. Like we talked about Reacher the other day, how it like glorifies police violence. John Wick glorifies revenge, right? You want John Wick to get his revenge. You're rooting for him the whole time. It seems like once he does, other bad shit happens because of that, but he faces consequences. But it doesn't seem like one of the consequences is like, oh, the awfulness of revenge, the emptiness of it. It seems like, oh, great, I got revenge, I won. And then, oh, shit, some other thing happened, I have to win again. But, like, it's still, like, you're always, like, it seems like he's having a good time doing it, frankly. Right. Not quite, but, like, you don't feel that depression, I suppose, as a thing.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
From that, I think it takes reference to a lot of Korean movies. So, like, a movie like Bittersweet Life, or Man from Nowhere, these kinds of movies, or Old Boy, very realistic. The character tends to be overwhelmed. It's not as much hyper-competence that we see from John Wick or The Raid, but usually the character gets absolutely trashed by the bad guys.
I think that adds to it, because, you know, well, with Reacher, I think it's cool in that regard to see, like, an unstoppable ass-kicking machine, but in something like an Old Boy or Monkey Man, where here's a hero where he doesn't always have the right moves, he gets tired, he gets bested sometimes, but he still gets the best of his opponents. It's fun to watch. It's fun to see the hero kind of fight his way out of an unwinnable situation.
But, like, at the end of the movie, he gets his revenge, he does everything, and again, you realize there's nothing, right? Like, the supposed kind of love interest they seemed like they were putting in. You know, she has a little scene where she kills somebody at the end, and then
it's
not at all clear that they're going to get together or that he found some reason to live for. His little friend, Alfonso, was it?
Alfonso.
You know, he shows up to where he becomes good at fighting, and he kind of cheers for him, and then the movie just forgets he exists. I mean,
I would have been mad if they got together at the end.
Right. Oh, if Monkey Man and the main girl got together?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't think they were.
That's fair. But I think my point is more that, actually, I like this about the movie, where, you know, you feel the bleakness and the futility of it, mm-hmm. right? It does, like, yeah, he won, but it's not like something you're cheering for. It's just like, you know,
I think it just shows you, like, yeah,
he dies pretty much right after he just falls to the ground.
He gets his...
And frankly, you're almost relieved for him. It's like, there's nothing else.
Yeah, he did it.
He got his revenge.
He has nothing else to live for. He got his revenge. It's not even like a celebratory moment. It's just like, okay, no, these people needed to get fucked up. He's right to do what he did. But you just feel sad for him.
Yeah. You know, one thing about this movie that I thought was interesting was how politically charged it was, whether it be from the eunuch community. There was a lot of talking about trans rights. Like, it seemed like this was for American audiences. And I thought stuff with the politicians at the end, I was under the impression when the trailer first came out that I was like, oh, the Indian government probably funded this. I thought that, because India, like with RRR, they're like, yes, we want to put as much Hindu media out there, as much pro-India stuff out there as we can, and we'll give you money to do it. But this movie was filmed in 2020, so it wasn't even able to be filmed in India. And so it was filmed in Indonesia instead.
I was really impressed
because the politician that they're talking smack about is Modi, which is like India's version of Trump. So I'm pretty sure they didn't get government funding for this. Like, if they were more positive about the politician, you know, the one who's spreading division and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
sounds
kind of familiar.
Then
I think they would have had a bigger budget for this. But you said, how much was the budget for this?
This was $10 million.
Nice.
It didn't look like it at all. This is gorgeous. Every penny, you could see them putting it to use on screen.
But you could tell some things. Like, it was a lot of close-ups. It was a very claustrophobic film.
They utilized their budget.
No, they did it well. But you can tell, you know, you don't have these wide shots. You don't
definitely.
You didn't honestly have that many of the highly stylized fight scenes. You had a couple. But it's not like The Raid or John Wick, where once the movie kicks off, that's pretty much the entire movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. You know, you have little breaks in John Wick, but it's like, okay, let's set up the next fight, right? Let's have a little bit of dialogue before we set up the next fight. This one had one or two, maybe three or four big fight scenes, but it was a lot focused on his character development, what happened to him.
Right.
So there's multiple things there. For one, the actors involved in this weren't that skilled. I think Dave Patel might be the most skilled person in there. Definitely, and so he's probably the one doing the majority of the action sequences.
The villain I thought was pretty good.
He was good, yeah, but like, you know, having skill is not just for the performance itself, it's also for taking the hits too.
Okay.
And being able to with John Wick and the Raid, a lot of the people who are in there are also martial artists, mm-hmm. and that they're doing these flips to make it look like they got hit. Like, for example, Marcos Arroyo in John Wick 4, he has a signature screwdriver kick that he does.
It's an amazing kick.
It's an amazing kick. I was looking for him to do it in that movie, but what they did was they hit him with a car in that movie, and that's when he did his screwdriver.
Okay, kick. That's cool.
He just spun through the air to do that. So with this, there wasn't as skilled of martial artists in there, so you couldn't really get off a lot of wide shots on these action scenes. And not only that, I know we talked about this earlier, but before we started recording, a lot of the locations they use seem like real locations. So where the Raid, you could build around these locations, like the bathroom fight in the Raid. What they do is they move the walls aside as the walls are built on hinges. And as the fight scene is happening, the camera is, they're able to move the wall so the camera can get through and film the whole fight scene.
Okay. And
so whereas this, they're probably actually fighting in a real bathroom. And so you have to be able to fit a camera in there.
Yeah, there's limitations.
Lights, you don't want to mess up the lights when you flip someone over.
More limitations with them with filming that. No, but again, for that $10 million budget, I think they did a fantastic job. I hope
what was the weekend box office like?
So it's made $12.7 million so far. So on the opening weekend, it grossed $12.7 million and it's on the opening weekend. So it made its money back, but definitely it's not a hit yet. It needs to make a little bit more than that, but I think it'll be a hit. Yeah, word of mouth. It's 88% of Rotten Tomatoes, so like people are liking it. People are really digging this. And
they did the work with the trailer. So yeah, they've definitely sold it to people.
Yeah, and I'm just really happy for Dev Patel and just what he's done. I can't wait to see what he does next. I hope he teams up with Jordan Peele. I don't know if they want to team up again. Maybe not do a Monkey Man 2, but just something that has them just collaborating again, because this is
absolutely
a great,
I think he's an amazing director, especially for a first time,
for a first outing. This was great.
I do say I think he was better at directing than writing.
I'll agree with that.
It did feel again like some of the threads were just dropped off.
Yeah,
like some of the characters were built up,
could have brought it back,
forgotten about, like some of the ideas were a little too directly from other movies.
Or they weren't fully baked. They weren't fully baked. Yeah, they needed to cook a little bit
again,
more.
Again, like the bathroom scene. It really, I would not be surprised at all if he's like, oh yeah, let's almost recreate this, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah. And it felt like that as I was watching it.
And I wasn't mad about that, but
the only reason someone like me, the only reason I notice is because I love that bathroom fight scene from Mission
Impossible. It's an all-time great. It really is in that series. But
still, strong directorial debut. Very strong lead performance. He's a great actor. I mean, he's already shown his acting chops, but he got a bright future ahead of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very bright future. Especially as an action star, too.
Of course. Yeah. I'd see him do action again.
And I mean, you know, his acting, you know, the way he portrays drama, the way he portrays pain, it's top notch.
It's way better than anyone in The Raid or John Wick.
Yeah. Yes.
Keanu has his moments, but Dev Patel is an elite dramatic actor.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. I really, really enjoyed this movie. As an Indian person, I am not used to seeing good portrayals of Asian men in general on screen. And so having Dev Patel in the director's chair and being able to navigate how these things are portrayed, I was very appreciative, and I can't wait to see what he does next.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, Dev Patel.
All right, so kind of wrapping up for today.
Yeah, so just real quick, let's do our plug of the week. I'll start this off. So my plug of the week is just a quick congratulations to the great Vince Carter and Chauncey Billups for making the 2024 NBA Hall of Fame. It's, you know, it's tough to make a Hall of Fame in any sport, NBA is notoriously tough, and just so many greats in their era. So to know that Vince Carter, he's the one. Vince Carter had there was a dunk contest, Aaron, where Vince Carter dunked, and a lot of times when you dunk, you either spin or whatever. But Vince Carter, when he did it, he dunked so hard that like his whole arm went to the rim, and he held himself up on the rim and like did one of those.
That's amazing. His whole up to his elbow.
It's an iconic slam. Yeah, Vince Carter.
And then even more iconic in a real basketball game, not in an open gym.
Yeah, this one.
He jumped over a 7 foot tall French dude.
Don't make no sense.
And dunked on him. And I say jumped over, I mean literally his nutsack were on top of the dude's head.
He almost cleared him. He almost cleared him, but he didn't quite clear him.
For the audience, the reason they're talking to me like a child is because I don't watch basketball at all.
Damn it. And anyone who, this is 20 plus years ago, so more than a few people might not remember.
So
this.
Aaron, a basketball is an orange rubber ball.
You want to put it in the basket,
In the basket. And also Chauncey Billups. So Chauncey Billups is on one of my favorite NBA teams ever, the 2004 Detroit Pistons. They won the championship that year. So Chauncey Billups, both Gerald Wallace's. There are two guys named Gerald Wallace's, both just monsters.
Tayshaun Prince.
Hamilton. Rasheed Wallace. Yeah. It's just a great team, and so I'm just that's my plug of the week. I just love the fact that these guys are getting their recognition all these years later.
Absolutely.
Yeah, how about you, Juan?
My plug of the week, I'm gonna plug Invisible Season 2.
Invincible.
Oh, yes.
No, I'm sorry, I'm bad at speaking. Invincible Season 2. Basically, the second part of the second season just wrapped up the other day.
It's great, man.
It reminds us what we love about superhero shows, where it's not quite as dark and gory as The Boys. It's more straightforward. The hero, it's a very traditional superhero, the main character. It's a very traditional superhero story in a lot of ways. But just the way they intersperse the world building, the unique characters, it just feels a lot more in-depth, a lot more lived in than most of these superhero shows, where it's all fantastical from beginning to end. This feels like it's almost like a regular student having a regular life, and it just happens to have superpowers. And even the superpower stuff almost feels like a hangout, like a school show. Like it feels kind of reminds me of X-Men Evolution.
Nice.
I can see that kind of vibe. Hyper violent.
But much more violent, and obviously the writing is more it's more serialized, more stakes on each given week. I absolutely love it. It's one of the top superhero properties out there going, in my opinion, up there with stuff like Gen V and The Boys, picking up where Marvel is kind of dropping slacking the ball a little bit.
I really liked Invincible, the second part of season two as well. I like the whole series, but I watched it, and I'm with you there. That was a real fun watch.
So good.
The finale was tough. They've kind of been building up to the fact that, we'll probably save it a little bit. Maybe have a review even in the next week or two.
Definitely want to break down that whole series. Yeah.
Highly recommend watching it. If you like superhero stuff, this kind of a different way of treating superhero shows that's still a little more earnest and less gory than something like The Boys for those more squeamish.
Juan, where can viewers find Invincible?
That is on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Amazon definitely has some quality shows on there.
Yes, they do.
That's dope.
Yes, they do. How about you, Aaron? What's your plug for the week, man?
I am going to be gluttonous and take two plugs this week.
Do it.
Today, I finished a book called The Silent Patient.
And
that was amazing. I was not expecting it to be that good.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, who's it by and whatnot?
It's by I think he's Greek. I think this name, Alex Michaelides or Michaelides. Sounds like a Greek name.
Okay.
It's a story of the story opens up with a murder. A girl named Alicia is found in her living room. Her husband has 5 gunshot wounds to the head. And she's standing there with a knife in her hand, and her arms have marks on them. And so she doesn't say anything. The police come and take her. She's just silent the whole time, and they have a trial. She doesn't say anything during the trial, and she gets sent to an insane asylum. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the proper term for what those are called. A therapeutic center.
Okay.
A behavioral adjustment center. And so the story revolves around her therapist who's trying to get her to talk and try and figure out what's going on with her. Really engaging book. It's been a long time since I've just gotten lost in a book and really enjoyed it. I've put off work that I was supposed to do just so I could sit there and finish reading the next chapter and the next chapter. It was a really good book, and I really loved reading it. I highly recommend it to you guys.
It's called the Silent Patient.
The Silent Patient.
Silent Patient by Alex Michaelides. Yeah, man. Yeah. Check that out, listeners, and yeah, I'll definitely look this one up. What's the other plug, dude?
The other plug, Vinland Saga. Awesome Vinland show. Vinland
Saga. I've heard of this show. So yeah, I've heard of this.
It's animated by the same people who did Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yeah, okay.
The fourth season of Attack on Titan.
Right, Chainsaw Man.
Chainsaw Man. Yeah, and Mappa.
I've seen Mappa. Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
Top tier animators.
Yes.
Yeah, animation is always gorgeous with their stuff. Yeah.
It's two seasons long, both 24 or 25 episodes. I think 24.
Okay.
The first season...
Is it done? Is it done as a series?
Or? I don't know. It could be done. Like, it left on a part where it could be done, but I really hope there's a third season.
Keeps going? Okay.
Because the first season is, it's really, really engaging. I was on board, like, by the end of the first episode. It has, like, a very... It's a swords and soldiers, or not swords and soldiers.
Sword and sandals?
Swords and sandals type anime.
Okay. Okay.
Where it kind of feels like Gladiator, where by the end of the first episode, I was like, I am ready for this adventure. I want to go on this adventure with these people. But the thing is, it's more about the characters. That's the really exciting part about it. Every character in there, and there's not many, there's like maybe 4 or 5 main characters, but every one of them is written incredibly well. And you're just excited to see the next episode to see how these characters will interact with each other. All right. I won't say that it's like the best anime ever, but I had a blast watching it. A lot of fun. And second season, just to warn you guys, is a completely different show. It's like, it's as if the second season is the first season of a show, and the first season's really just a prequel.
Interesting.
An action-packed prequel. In fact, the last episode of the first season is called End of Prologue. The second season ends up being a completely different show. A lot more dramatic, a lot less action. Very different characters from what happens in the first season. I think two of them are the same, but it's really good. I really had a good time watching it.
All right. Okay. So where can we watch that? Is it like
I watched on Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll? Okay. I'm not sure if it's streaming anywhere else, but okay. Yeah.
Crunchyroll is generally one of those good sites for watching anime.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
They always do. All right. Well, thanks, man. Dude, Aaron. Dude, this has been great, man. Thank you. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys. This of course. Was fun.
Dude, please come back. We'd love to have you back on just to discuss
more guest stuff. Y'all, obviously. Yeah, we thank you all for sticking with us. Hopefully we can get some more guests, give you all some interesting perspectives.
We'll definitely have more guests the month of April. This is the month where we're kind of, things are going to kick into high gear, so you'll definitely hear more voices and just more opinions and just more discussion here. So
yeah, I'm excited to see what you guys have going on next.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
So once again, guys, thank you very much. Guys, you can find us and subscribe to us on Spotify and just search up It Was Mooney. And until next time, guys, adios.
Adios, guys.
Adios.